This Week in Palestine, a service of the International Middle East Media Center, www.imemc.org, for the week of May 5th to 11th, 2006. Three children die of renal failure, the latest casualties in the ongoing aid freeze.
A Hamas-Fatah gun battle leaves three dead.
Hamas agrees to recognize Israel, pending an Israeli withdrawal to 1967 borders.
And a group of settlers beats 20 children near Hebron. These stories and more coming up. Stay tuned.
Hundreds of Palestinian, Israeli, and international peace activists gathered at the annexation wall in Belayin this Friday for a day of street theater. Four villagers acted out the decision taken by the United Kingdom, the United States, the United Nations, and Israel to cut aid to Palestine. They carried a 2-meter-high iron wall surrounded by 10 feet of barbed wire. A Palestinian man stood in the center. Israeli soldiers ordered the demonstrators to leave the area, then fired tear gas and rubber-coated bullets at them. Some villagers responded with bottles full of chicken and sheep feces. A 5-year-old boy and 2 journalists suffered injuries from the tear gas.
This marks the second week of Israel's campaign to ghettoize Jeep Village in Jerusalem. Israeli bulldozers have destroyed acres of farmland and begun plans for a new fenced-in road that will become the sole route open to Palestinians. The road they now use will then be labeled Jewish only.
And now highlights from the Palestinian Center for Human Rights weekly report on Israeli military attacks against Palestinians from May 4th to May 10th. During the reported period, the Israeli army killed 9 people, injured 24 civilians, arrested 61 civilians, including 11 children, invaded the West Bank 38 times, continued to shell the Gaza Strip, and continued its strict siege on the occupied Palestinian territories. As the siege on Gaza continues, the tiny strip of land increasingly resembles a prison. The Israeli military monitors Palestinian civilians traveling internationally, allows small amounts of food aid in from Egypt, but refuses to open commercial borders, prevents workers in Gaza from going to work in Israel, and has an ongoing travel ban on the hundreds of thousands of Gazans who would like to visit the West Bank. And in the West Bank, checkpoints are multiplying and tightening. The north and south have been isolated by bureaucratic and military measures that appear to be permanent, although the military claims they are temporary, and Nablus is continually cut off by closed checkpoints.
Just outside of Hebron this Saturday, a group of illegal Israeli settlers from the Ma'an settlement south of Yatta village attacked a group of 20 Palestinian children. The settlers beat and stoned the children, injuring 5.
Israeli fighter jets fired 2 missiles at the village of Al-Mawasi in the southern Gaza Strip, one at a training site for the Salah Eddin Brigade, the military wing of the Popular Resistance Committees, and the other at a training camp for Abu al-Rish Brigade, one military offshoot of Fatah. No injuries were reported. Abu Sari, a leader of Abu al-Rish Brigade, reacted to the attacks.
There were no shooting or clashes in the place that was shelled. The Zionist state always claimed that to justify its killing of the resistance men and the elderly and children. Their slogan is safety and security for Israelis and death to the Palestinians.
On Thursday, Israel conducted a dawn invasion into the West Bank city of Jenin. In confrontations with angry residents, the army used live ammunition, injuring several people, including 5 children. The army also arrested Salah al-Saadi, a leader of Islamic Jihad who had been on the army's wanted list for 2 years. Now we'll go to Ali Samoudi, a journalist from Jenin.
5 injured, most of them children, in clashes in the city during an Israeli operation which involved more than 20 jeeps. In the eastern neighborhoods of the city, the army arrested Salah al-Saadi, the leader of Al-Quds Brigades. Clashes erupted between the resistors and school children against the army. Several homes were also searched and damage was reported.
Three Palestinians were killed and several more wounded on Monday during a gun battle between Hamas and Fatah in southern Gaza. The confrontation came after Hamas accused Fatah of kidnapping 3 of its members. Both Prime Minister Ismail Haniyeh and President Mahmoud Abbas called for an end to the clashes, and the factions issued a joint statement calling for accountability on both sides.
Three children died of kidney failure in Gaza's El Shifa Hospital this Tuesday. They are the latest casualties of the aid cutoff coordinated by Israel, the U.S., the U.K., and the U.N. Ministry of Health representative Moawiyah Abu Hassanein said 600 children in Gaza hospitals may soon meet the same fate if the aid freeze continues. The freeze is well into its third month now, and the casualties expand beyond human fatality. Israel is holding on to hundreds of millions of dollars belonging to the Palestinian Authority. 165,000 governmental employees have not been paid for months. Dor Energy, the Israeli company that provides fuel to the West Bank and Gaza, has cut off fuel shipments. Taxi drivers have resorted to running their cars on vegetable oil, which is now also in short supply. Dr. Mohammed Awada, head of the Palestinian Red Crescent Emergency and Ambulance Department, says that in 2 days, ambulances will be out of commission.
The situation is very bad. If this lasts for more than 2 days, we will be forced to prioritize the hard cases only to save what little gas is left in the headquarters. But we have gas only for 1 more week only. The pressure on us is high since all ambulances cross checkpoints, which we call long-distance runs.
UN Secretary General Kofi Annan invited the quartet, which includes the U.S., the U.N., the EU, and Russia, to meet in New York to approve a temporary method of transferring aid to Palestinians. Foreign ministers of Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and Jordan attended the meeting to voice concerns that the aid freeze would lead to more violence. Annan said a plan for aid transfer should be soon in place, and Israeli Foreign Minister Tzipi Livni said Israel would not oppose the transfer as long as it bypasses the Hamas-led government.
Palestinian Prime Minister Ismail Haniyeh voiced suspicion that the new transfer plan was part of an attempt to force Hamas to recognize Israel without holding Israel accountable to international law. Palestinian Chief Negotiator Dr. Saeb Erekat said the plan would not meet the immediate need of Palestinians. But Anwar Zubun, a Hamas parliament member, called the decision a positive move despite its flaws.
In fact, I see it as a positive step, yet they have not dropped their main condition that Hamas should recognize Israel. However, allowing some funds into the Palestinian territories slightly eases the situation. Yet we and the government do not feel so comfortable with it, especially the three-month time limit and the fact that Israel accepted this plan, which signals some hidden agendas and agreements.
U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice said the international community is trying to respond to the needs of the Palestinian people while reaffirming the U.S. administration's boycott of any Palestinian government that refuses to recognize Israel.
Hamas has announced it will recognize Israel as per a 2002 Arab League peace plan, but only if Israel accepts the proposal first. Israel originally rejected the plan because it calls for a complete withdrawal to 1967 borders. But Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert said that if the Palestinian government did not take acquiescence to his conditions for negotiation within 6 months, he would take unilateral measures. Olmert said that in order for negotiations to begin, Hamas must recognize Israel, officially support previously signed agreements, and, quote, renounce violence.
And that's just some of the news this week in Palestine. For constant updates, check out our website, www.imemc.org. As always, thanks for joining us. From Occupied Bethlehem, I'm Jenka Soderberg.
And I'm Tarina Aguilar.